DomeRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name's Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, let's kind of recap where we're at. I mean, obviously Weiss is now gone. The big question, and if you're listening to the pundits, the answer is no. Is Notre Dame still relevant anymore as a top-notch football program? I don't know about you, but at least it's pretty clear to me that about 80% of the articles that are out there are that Notre Dame needs to get real and realize that they're no longer an attractive position for a head football coach. Are you seeing the same thing as me, or is that just me being biased?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen a little bit of both. Pat Forty from ESPN had, I thought, captured it really well. I heard Lou Holtz on Colin Cowherd today sticking up for the Irish, saying it was the best job in the country. So, you know,
there you
know, kind of, I don't know if anybody takes him seriously anymore after saying we were going to go undefeated this year. But he made a good point. If we had any defense, we probably would have been 10-2. So, there's the haters are always going to come out a little bit, and they're hoping that we fall flat on our face in this coaching search, because they know that we're a sleeping giant. And, you know, they're Michigan fans, or they're USC fans, or they're Tennessee fans, or everybody's got an agenda. Everybody's got a team that they like. And they know that if Notre Dame comes back on the block and gets its act together, then that's going to be, you know, less players for them, more popularity for us. I think you and I agree that, that we're a good coach away from being back in the national conversation on an annual basis. I've heard a little bit of both. But I think people who kind of look at it with a clear eye, maybe who don't have a dog in the hunt, see this as you put the right guy in there who's able to get this thing on track and away we go. And let me just say one thing. I totally disagree with the commentary that makes it sound like college football is all about talent. I read something today. I think Sully sent it to you and I. That I thought really made a lot of sense. You know, we've probably been lacking in talent especially on the defensive side of the ball lately. We're missing something else. We're missing some intangibles. We're missing some determination. We're missing some discipline. I mean, we lost a lot of games this year because of dumb penalties, because of poor tackling, things that I think are really correctable regardless of the talent level. So, we'll get into specifics, but I've heard some of the things that you've heard.
Some of it is warranted, some isn't. I mean, I think that anytime when you're talking about Notre Dame, it's hard not to go to the extreme one way or the other.
You're absolutely right.
Notre Dame is kind of like the Dallas Cowboys. You either love them or you hate them. And, for the college football world, there's one football program in the United States that has every single home game on a network, and it's Notre Dame. Why is that? Well, it's because they appeal to a national basis, and, you know, when it comes down to money, NBC knew what they were doing and said, hey, we can make money off this venture. Let's go ahead and do it.
I don't think it burns people as much that every one of our home games on NBC. I think it really burns people that, when we're not on NBC, we're pretty much nationally televised.
Yeah,
anyways,
I mean,
we're
going to be the other game, right? And it's, again, it's just national fouling.
We're going to be playing Western Michigan next year, and it's going to be on national TV.
Right.
You know, we're going to be playing Army next year at Yankee Stadium, and it's going to be on national TV. I think that's what drives people crazy.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, you know, and I think that's where people just kind of underestimate the impact of the head football coaching position at Notre Dame. There's great exposure that comes with that. I mean, Charlie Weiss landed on the map and became a household name because he became the head football coach at Notre Dame. He didn't do that. Nobody even knows who this guy is, let alone the success he enjoyed in the NFL. And you know, sounds like he's going to end up heading back there. And I'm sure actually that he probably will enjoy more success back in the NFL. I mean, that obviously is, the guy clearly is a talent when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. When it comes to coaching ahead, you know, a football team in the college ranks, unfortunately, he didn't have what it takes. And, smartly, to his credit, I think he realizes that and is going to have no part of the college football game from here on out.
It doesn't seem like it.
No, but I do think that, you know, looking at Notre Dame, I mean, clearly, number one, this idea that people are floating out there that we just don't have very much talent is kind of ridiculous. I find it hard to believe. So much so that, you know, Gene Wojciechowski, or however you pronounce his name on ESPN, literally took a shot at Monte Teo and in his article made the comment that he didn't match up with the kind of athleticism when we played pretty good teams. I mean, it just goes to show how far out people will reach to make statements about Notre Dame just in order to cut him down. If that isn't one of the more ridiculous things I've heard, I mean, the kid is an absolute true freshman, and as a true freshman, filled in pretty doggone well. And in a couple of games, I know in one, in fact, he had 10 tackles. I mean, you can't sit here and say that kid is not a talent and we've got more problems coming down the pike. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, really, it kind of exposes the ulterior side of, you know, hate Notre Dame. So,
you know, and a lot of times I don't even know if there's a degree of hate Notre Dame to it, but it's more just, they're just idiots. I mean, some of the stuff I heard this weekend, you know, Spencer Tillman saying he has sources inside the athletic department that were going after Brian Billick. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, the only source that would ever say that would be Brian Billick. And then you've got Robert Smith, a real, you know, I don't know how the hell he ever got into medical school, if he did. But, you know, he's on ESPN saying that the biggest impediment to Notre Dame getting the coach that they want is money, because they've got to pay Charlie Weiss a bunch of money and then pay a new coach a bunch of money. I mean, there is nobody with any seriousness that thinks that money is a barrier in this situation. So, you know, they'll give just about any ex-player, for one thing, can get a microphone these days, and, you know, just about anybody can write something on the internet. At least you and I know that we're fans, you know, and
right.
We don't claim to be experts. We're talking a lot of times from our heart more than our head. But the people that they put on television and on the internet these days, you know, they're really – again, Notre Dame sells papers. So if you make some statement, no matter how ridiculous it is, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get some attention. But I agree with you. The level of discourse is pretty poor from a lot of these sources.
And I do think that what people discount, and I truly believe this, I mean, granted, we are in a huge drought, and it's something we're not used to. And clearly for us as Notre Dame fans, it's been disturbing, to say the least. I mean, I would have never imagined back in 1988, after watching that season, that we wouldn't see another one for 20 plus years. I mean, I just never crossed my mind. Now, arguably, we should have seen one in 93, but didn't get that chance. But in any event, you know, in this case, right now today, you look at who's available as coaches. I mean, even just the openings that are out there. You know, in this ESPN article, again, by Wojciechowski, he's making the comment that, you know, Alabama with Nick Saban, Urban Meyer with Florida. He even made the comment that Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech are in all much better situations than possibly taking the job at Notre Dame. And what's kind of funny is you listen to that and you say, all right, wait a minute. Who would go down in history as one of the greatest football coaches ever if they left that school and then came to Notre Dame and won a national championship? They'd only have to win one, arguably, because then they would be classified as restoring the glory to Notre Dame. I mean, anybody that comes in here and wins, and I thought Swarbrick made a really good comment in the press conference that, hey, look, you know, yeah, I'm not going to come out here and say that we need to win national championships, but I do expect us to play for BCS bowl games. And that is a realistic approach to the game. And, you know, for him to get shots because of that, I mean, he's clearly just stating the case of, hey, look, we're a football program that's been a powerhouse, always have been. There's no reason to think that we can't be a BCS contender year in and year out. And I think as long as you put yourself in that state, all it takes is a couple bounces your way in any given year, and you're in the national championship game.
Sure, sure. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, especially, you know, if you look at scheduling, if you look at a bunch of other things, I refuse to believe it's not doable until I go through a 5-year stretch with a leader that I think has the goods and it doesn't work out. You know what I mean? I mean, because I don't think that, you know, that we as fans have been given that kind of a leader for, you know, 3, almost 4 decisions in a row. You know, they just haven't been good decisions. I know I've said this in the last, you know, 3 or 4 times we've done the show, but that's who's at fault here. So let's give them one more chance. It's not like we're going to bail on them. You know, let's see if they can pick the right guy. It seems to me, and we're probably going to be getting to this, but that right guy is, more and more looking like he's coming from Southern Ohio. That's just my opinion. Everything that I seem to read does not, I hate to tell you this, but it doesn't look like Urban's interested. the conversations that you read that Stoops is having with recruits, et cetera, I don't think that that's a possibility either. You know, when I look at these processes, maybe it's a little bit of cynicism, but you know, these agents are involved and they play a big role in this. And I think a lot of times when a high profile coach gets involved, his interest or feigned interest is really more his agent's interest. And it could be in a lot of instances just as much about his current job as it is about his next job, getting some leverage. You know, reminding a university that they haven't, you know, been showing, you know, his guy to love, you know, this year, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, these agents play a much more prominent role than we'd like to think, you know, especially when you've got a guy, Stoops' agent is also Kirk Ferentz's agent. Who knows that he didn't put out the word to Notre Dame that his guy was interested just in order to try and push Ferentz on them because, you know, Ferentz is interested. So there's all kinds of that stuff going on, but I don't see anything that would lead me to believe that if Kelly is their quote unquote second tier choice, that that's who they'll try and go after, and hopefully, I think for our sake, end up with. Because I think if we miss out on Kelly, I think people are going to be disappointed. He's the it guy. He's the hot guy. I'm not sure that he's the right guy, but it seems to me that he's kind of our most likely candidate, and hopefully they can reel him in, because I think if they have to go to plan C, there's a lot more, you know, there's possibly more risk.
I do think that, you know, that clearly Swarbrick is the kind of guy that thrives in the kind of situation that he's in right now. I mean, he's what you would consider to be a cool cucumber, and that I don't see him given any credence to trying to play the winds of the media and react to that. I mean, he is going to take it the way that he wants to take it. I thought it was interesting in the press conference when he made the comment that, hey, if we need to wait for a bowl game to finish, we will do that if it means getting the right guy.
Right.
So he laid the groundwork that, hey, look, we're in no rush. We don't have to name somebody right this second. You know, if it means doing the right thing and getting the right guy, we'll do whatever it takes, but we're going to take the right approach to make sure that for the interest of the football program and the future of this football program, we're going to take the necessary time that it takes to make the right decision. So
yeah, but that's a very dangerous line to walk.
It is, because you can hang yourself out. I agree.
Yeah, you have to have some assurances. I mean, if it's a big fish, if it's a Stoops, a Meyer, I mean, you know, again, I think that that's less than 5%. But if that's the case, you can't expose the program based on a maybe, based on a I'll talk to you after the bowl game, based on a let me think about it after the bowl game. You just can't do that.
But here's what I think that could possibly be going on behind the scenes, and I don't know. I mean, I'm doing this on the standpoint of Swarbrick. Whenever you put yourself in a negotiation standpoint, you want to do it from a position of strength. So the idea would be, all right, look, we want to go after one of these guys that's going to finish their bowl game. And granted, anybody can make a change of heart after that. I mean, Billy Donovan can pull a week later and say, I'm not coming. But if you put yourself in that position, then what you say is, all right, I got to have some backup plan. If I don't get anybody after that week of the BCS game, then I got to have somebody in the wings that I've got signed, ready to go, and that's who we go with. And that, to me, would be a big name that potentially is outside the college ranks. It could possibly be. And that might be the risk that he's willing to take, but the point is, I don't see Schwarbach letting it go. He's not going to put himself out where he's walking on a plank, and at the end of the plank, he's got to dive into the ocean and think, all right, I got to swallow some pride here. I just don't see that happening with that guy.
Well, I think that's still pretty risky and unlikely for this reason. I mean, I don't necessarily buy into this, Brian Kelly will walk to South Bend, with his hair on fire and his feet, in glass. I don't buy that. I mean, I think this is a job that you still have to sell to a degree. I don't care to who it is. These guys are, can get pretty comfortable, and there's a whole bunch of other considerations. So, unless this idea of like, hey, Coach Kelly, January 3rd, we might be getting back to you if we strike out here on the guys that we really want. I mean, you don't think the people,
No, that's my point. That's why I don't think it'll be a college coach. I think what Notre Dame would do is they'll put their 1, 2, and 3 in the college ranks by the BCS game. And if they whiff on all three of those, they'll have some stud pro coach that'll come in to coach the Irish. That would have to be the backup plan. Otherwise, it's way too risky to allow somebody to tell you, hey, let me wait for my BCS game and then I'll get back to you.
Oh, no. Well, I do think Notre Dame is still an attractive enough job that if they decide to pursue Brian Kelly, they could get an agreement from him before his bowl game. Now, they'd have to work out the particulars in terms of, whether he coaches in that game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, I don't think that he could hold them over a barrel, past his BCS game if he wins this Saturday and they play
No, but I think what might happen is they might say, all right, look, we're willing to forego the announcement until after it in order to avoid distraction. I could see Notre Dame doing that.
I don't know. That would not sit right with me. I mean, you've got 60 players, a bunch of recruits, a bunch of assistants, and you're going to kind of leave them twist around there, for a month. I don't think so.
I don't know. But then that would go contrary. That would go contrary to what Schwarbach said at the press conference then.
Well, I don't know if it would or not. I mean, I think what he's, to me, I interpreted those remarks as, big fish remarks. You know what I mean?
Name the guy, but then let him coach out his BCS game.
I interpreted those remarks as, particularly directed at Meyer and Stoops. although Stoops, that's really not an issue, so more directed at Meyer. I mean, because I don't, again, I'll agree with you that I think this job is big enough and important enough and attractive enough, that Notre Dame has a little bit more of an ability to call the shots on how this plays out with a Brian Kelly than it would with a Stoops or a Meyer.
I hear you. Well, let's do this. I mean, I don't want to go too long tonight, but I'll end it on this. I still think, and I'm going to make the argument that Urban Meyer is crazy not to consider the job for this, for this mere fact. And you never know. Maybe he is listening to this show. But the point would be, at 2 BCS wins right now today, even if he were to win a third one, if the next head coach at Notre Dame wins 2, he becomes a moot point. Urban Meyer will go down in history as, oh yeah, that guy was he Florida or Florida State? And, unfortunately for him, that's what the reality of the world is. I mean, the next guy that coaches Notre Dame, if he wins 1 or even 2 national championships, it'll all be about restoring the glory of Notre Dame, and Mike, he becomes an afterthought.
Mike, you are a hell of a lot closer to Gainesville than I am. I think you should get in your car right now and drive up and make it. Because I don't think anybody at the university could deliver it as well as you just did. I'm sold. I'm ready to come and play for you.
You know, that's why I just wonder if maybe I had to call Swarbrick and say, hey, look, let me deal with Urban, all right? Let me go call on him. I'll sit down with him. You know, it's worth the chance, because if we lose and strike out, then everyone's going to think we did that way anyway. I will say this really quick. It kind of bothers me a little bit about Herb Street. Every time Urban Meyer's name is brought up, he kind of laughs it off and completely dismisses it. But what he fails to realize is that Urban's the one who said it was his dream job. Now, why does a guy go out saying that kind of stuff? It came out of his mouth, nobody else's. So, in any event, I'm simply painting the picture as to why Urban would even consider that his dream job. Why even say it? He said it, so let's get that out on the table. But anyways.
No, I mean, like we said at the beginning, I mean, a lot of these guys are really just kind of talking through their, you know, what's,
it could be.
When it comes to this. But, I'm talking about Herb Street, not Matt Meyer. I think there's validity there. I just don't think, I think we blew our shot. You know, we had a shot 5 years ago, and, that ship has sailed.
Could be.
But, I'm pretty sure that, you know, the Stoops ship has sailed as well. The Chris Martin ship has now sailed. hopefully there aren't too many other ships that sail before we get this thing, in track. But let me just say one last thing about Brian Kelly, because I was thinking about this today. Somebody had some very good points about Butch Davis and how he's a superior candidate to Brian Kelly. People have been talking about, you know, Bob Stoops this week, et cetera. But one thing that does appeal to me a little bit about Kelly is, he's the one guy that, you know, in this discussion so far, that definitely could come in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, that could definitely come in with something to prove. Because he's being kind of talked about in this discussion as, oh, this guy, you know, he's they want Stoops, they want Meyer, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He's really kind of seen as the small program guy, the small school guy. There's a little part of that that appeals to me. The fact that he's going to come in with something to prove, that he, A, really, really, really wants this job, that he sees it as a great job, that he wants to make himself a name for himself on the highest level, of college football. And there's a little bit in there, I don't know if you agree with this, but there's a little bit about that that does appeal to me, as opposed to, you know, Butch Davis, who's been around this block, you know, a bunch of times with, you know, a bunch of different, you know, high profile jobs, and, you know, who knows, kind of what his real, you know, commitment would be to the university. A lot of the things that you were talking about on the last show, that kind of feeling that this could be something special.
You make a good point in that what you do want is you definitely want a guy that comes in here hungry to prove a point.
Right.
Could look at Stoops and say, all right, Stoops come here and say, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. And if it doesn't work out, so be it. You know, that's just, hey, man, I've already proven myself elsewhere. So I do agree with you that Brian Kelly would be definitely stepping up. And if he, you know, anybody can pull off what he pulled off at Cincinnati, and everyone says, oh, wow, that's kind of neat. But if you pull it off at a premier program, then you become the upper echelon. So I agree with you there.
Right, exactly. I mean, there was no consensus view that Urban Meyer was going to be a home run for Florida. You know, people knew he could coach, but people were like, Bowling Green? Utah? Come on now. Let's play big boy football and see what happens. Well, they're saying the same things about Brian Kelly right now. Grand Valley State, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, the Big East. Okay, now, you know, let's play big boy football.
No, I would agree with that.
Let's play
big
boy recruiting and see what happens with this guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are some parallels there, and, you know, we'll have to see. But I would say at the end of this conversation that I think he kind of appears to be the guy that we're most likely to hire.
Yeah, and not a bad one. I wouldn't be disappointed with Brian Kelly, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I certainly think that would be, you know, a well thought out good decision for the Irish. And anything less than that, then you got to start questioning what's going on. But
listen, if anything, if we get Brian Kelly, we should have a pretty good chance of getting, you know, 6'8", 300-pound Matt James, left tackle from Cincinnati, whatever high school that is. You know, he could start, you know, he's gonna, he's, they're, you could pencil him in right now as a starting left
well,
back.
Well, yeah.
Based on
I mean, there's gonna be a, yeah, there's gonna be a vacancy there on the offensive line.
Get him in here, you know, get him hitting the road. It sounds like he's a pretty smooth talker. You know, just get him out there, hit the ground running, and, you know, and let's get after it.
Yep.
But,
yeah, I agree. All right, let's do it. Let's wrap it up there.
All right, Michael, good job.
Very good. You've been listening to Dolman Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.